This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Hosted by Katie Milkman, an award-winning behavioral scientist and author of the best-selling book, How to Change, Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind our decisions. Hear true stories from Nobel laureates, authors, athletes, and everyday people about why we do the things we do. Listen to Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
She's like, Alan, you don't even know me. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point of a crush, right?
Yeah. Welcome to How To. I'm Courtney Martin. Do you remember your first crush? I totally do. His name was Michael Mahoney. Shout out Michael Mahoney. Anyway, it was second grade. My older brother and his friends asked people out. Like you would say, do you want to go out with me? In this like really formal, intense way. So I did that. One day on the playground, I mustered up the courage to say, Michael, do you want to go out with me? And he said, go where? And it was at that moment that I realized I had no idea what it actually meant to go out with someone, and I kind of skulked away, completely mortified. Though we may have countless crushes in our lifetime, and if you're anything like me, countless mortifications, there is something about the first one that just sticks.
Oh my God. I was in first grade. She was in all the smart classes. And I was having a lot of trouble with math, just being able to do addition and subtraction and stuff like that. I just remember, like, even then, I knew she was totally out of my league.
That's Alan. He's in his 30s now, but in some ways, he still feels like that shy first grader.
Ever since then, I've just really struggled, like, with my own self-image and anxiety. And like, if I do develop like the feels for somebody, then I just kind of like grow into the wall and become an obscure and just letting it die and moving on.
Do you remember the first time you actually pushed against that feeling and tried to tell someone that you had a crush on them?
Yes. I broke out in cold sweats and my tongue went dry, horrible stutter, like hands in my pockets, shoulders hunched. I'm like, hey, you want to go out with me sometime? It's okay if you don't. It's fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, I could not maintain eye contact because we didn't know then that I have Asperger's. But I didn't find that out until I was 25, actually.
Asperger syndrome is now usually referred to as autism spectrum disorder, but I like to use someone's preferred terminology, so you may hear me flip back and forth in this conversation. Anyway, Alan was starting to wonder how his autism might be affecting his dating life.
I hate small talk. It's hard for me to gauge like how much is too much to share and how much is not enough. How do I still share enough but still be mysterious? And I hear eye contact is very important. So, but that's always been a really big struggle for me. And
yeah. How do you feel when you do make eye contact with people?
I feel weird.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel so weird. Like, I don't know how long is too long. Should I just stare at their forehead and make them think I'm looking into their eyes?
2 to 3 seconds.
Two to three seconds.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're already getting deeply practical and hearing Jeff's voice. So I feel like, Jeff, will you introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. My name is Jeff Gunther. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I've been a therapist for 20 years.
When Jeff first became a therapist, he started getting clients who were struggling with their dating lives. They were working through anxiety in their relationships, they were feeling too needy, sometimes they worried about falling behind on life's supposed milestones, you know, marriage, babies, all the things. And then, during the pandemic, Jeff decided to share his relationship advice on TikTok, and his account, Therapy Jeff, blew up. We're talking millions of followers.
Three dating mind shifts that will improve your chances of finding a good match. One, you can fall in love with someone who you're not head over heels attracted to. Attraction builds over time.
Now he's sharing all of his experiences on a podcast and a new book called Big Dating Energy. Jeff's co-author is Kate Happ.
I have a writing partner who also happens to be my ex-wife. We were married for 7 years. One of the things that made our relationship so great was that we're such good friends. Yeah. That was always like at the base of our relationship. And we know how to do like some proper ribbing. Like she comes in all the time throughout the book to kind of like put me in check and give people, you know, be a little transparent about some of the issues that we've dealt with. But the book is about how to take responsibility for your relationship issues and meeting people in real life or on the dating apps. It goes into flirting, how to message people back and forth, how to stay sane if you want to use the dating apps. There's a dumpster fire out there, so I get why it's difficult. It's incredibly funny, if I do say so myself. It's a very refreshing take on relationships and dating.
So today on the show, we're going to put that knowledge to use. Because Alan has a doozy of a question involving a crush at his local gym, some awkward flirting, and sadly, maybe a little heartbreak. Stick with us.
This episode is brought to you by ZBiotics. There's now a game-changing product to use before a night out with drinks. It's called ZBiotics. And let's face it, after a night with drinks, it's tough to bounce back the next day. And so you have to make a choice. You can either have a great night or a great next day. ZBiotics is a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. And here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. And it's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel better tomorrow. Go to zbiotics.com/howto to get 15% off your first order when you use howto at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/howto and use the code howto at checkout for 15% off.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right, a real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Alan's last serious relationship ended in the early days of the pandemic. Since meeting new people at a bar or event was practically non-existent, his family urged him to try a different approach. So he did what most people do nowadays. You know it, downloaded those dating apps.
Even though I'm not a particularly like huggy or touchy-feely person, I would much rather be in the presence of somebody learning things about them instead of sending line by line, like, what's your favorite color, what's your favorite book, whatever, and like not hearing anything between like 8 to 16 hours. Mm-hmm. And just kind of wondering in the back of my head, well, did I say something wrong? Am I being ghosted?
So he took a break. And then in what sounds like a rom-com plot twist, a woman walked into his life, or more accurately, walked into his gym.
So I have a second job at my gym. I've had a huge crush on this on this woman forever. And I finally like started working up the nerve to like just talk to her.
It started with small talk, right? Saying hi, chatting about the weather, conversations like that. And then Alan found himself increasingly smitten with the woman behind this beautiful smile. But he couldn't tell if his feelings were reciprocated.
I was thinking to myself, should I say anything? Should I tell her anything? But I better not, because one, I don't want to ruin a safe place for her. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to make a place that I work awkward. But I was at the end of a workout one day and she was leaving. I asked her just a question about a conversation we'd had previously that week. And then she answered, but then went straight into, do you have a gym crush? And I was like, what do I do? Oh, shit. I was like, maybe. And she just dove right in. She's like, oh, my gosh, who is it? I'm like, what do I do? Oh my God. I tried to be so confident in the moment, but it came out as you.
Yeah. You're so brave for saying
I know,
that. Good job.
That was
yeah.
Brave. Uh-huh. And what'd she say?
She looked directly at me and she said, oh my God, I'm so flattered. Well, why don't I give you my number and we can talk about it? I went to get my phone, but my hand was shaking sure. so bad I got the screen to unlock, but I couldn't get to the contacts on my phone, and finally I just gave up. I was like, here you go. Just put it in.
After she left came the waiting for a call, a text, any sign as to how she's feeling. And naturally, when there's waiting, there's wondering, has she been flirting this whole time? Where should they go on their first date? Wait, is she really interested? Oh God, what if he read her wrong? Did he just make a fool of himself? Alan didn't find out until he saw her again at the gym.
She was very, very kind about it. She's like, Alan, you don't even know me. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point of a crush, right? Like, all I know yeah. about you
Good point.
Is that you got a really pretty smile and you're funny. And I'd like to get to know you better. And she's like, well, I'm not really in this place to really get into anything, you know, cause just kind of let me down easy. But are you okay with just being friends? I was like, you'd be one more friend than I have right now. Cause like right now I have like maybe three. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally okay with it. Before she left, she said, are you sure you're okay with that? Because I don't want to be around you if it's only going to hurt you. And I was like, man, that made my heart just go, oof.
It sounds like, you know, like we said before, you had to be really brave and courageous in order to let her know how you felt. So that's really great. It seems like you really want to put yourself out there. And you're also like very thoughtful, you know, you don't want anyone to feel weird or uncomfortable. You're really thoughtful about like, if I do say something, is it going to make the environment sort of awkward for her when she comes here or when I come to work? So those are like really big, wonderful green flags that I think a lot of people would want to find in a partner. So the thing is, though, that like, as one continues to put themselves out there, they have to deal with lots of rejections.
Whether they're micro or slightly bigger like the one Alan experienced, rejection can compound and kind of chip away at your self-esteem. So listen, be gentle with yourself. Remember that the people you're encountering don't know the real you yet. And take pride in the moments where you open up to someone, because even if it is the wrong fit, you're one step closer to finding the right one. I know one of the things Alan was talking about when we did our pre-interview is that social cues, like reading social cues, can be hard. Like, it's great to be in person because there's a lot more information. You mm-hmm. get someone's vibe and eye contact or maybe not or whatever. But how can Alan go about feeling more comfortable reading people's social cues?
Yeah, I think he was doing a pretty good job so far. The first thing that you're talking about is making eye contact. So when you make eye contact, maybe a lot of times when we are kind of interested in somebody or forming a crush, we'll look at them for 2 or 3 seconds and we'll lock eyes for a little bit, see if they also lock eyes with you. And try to figure out, like, when you're talking to them or when you're around them, is their body language open or are they closed? Like, are they crossing their arms? Are they looking away? Are they kind of like trying to get back to what they were doing? Or are they standing there, arms open, maybe on their hips? Do they have like a good, easy, relaxed vibe or energy? Another thing that you can think about sometimes is that, like, are they mirroring you? Sometimes if you meet somebody in a bar and you have a drink in your right hand and somebody is looking right at you, if they have their drink in their left hand sort of mirroring you and doing and like you're leaning this way and they're also leaning that way, there's some like subconsciously they're kind of like they're really picking up on you and they're feeling connected. And, you know, are they laughing at your jokes? Are they interested in what you're saying? When you ask them questions, are they open-ended questions and do they expand on them? Or do they just give like the one-word answers, right? So I love meeting people in person because you can collect all of this information that you can't really collect on the dating apps.
Picking up on body language cues and observing how someone answers a question can give a lot of insight, which you can then use when you want to get a little flirty.
We talk about how consent is really important in relationships, and that's true for any stage of the relationship, even if it's just flirting. Oftentimes you want to get enthusiastic consent to know that somebody like wants you to flirt with them. You might say like, hey, can I give you a compliment? And that's you asking for consent to give them a little bit of a compliment. And then you'll be able to gauge how open they are to receiving that compliment. So lots of compliments are always a good idea. Typically compliments about like who they are, like their personality, their values, what they stand for, like their sense of humor, all those things. You can compliment, you know, smiles and eyes and looks and that they're pretty, but like let's concentrate on like what makes them a person usually. And going ahead and like being a little vulnerable, like sharing a little bit about what you're dealing with, like maybe some like struggles that you have just to see if they're going to like share a little bit about what they're dealing with. Again, we're not like unloading every single thing here, but like showing up as a person. Also, like if it gets to this place where it feels natural, maybe like a touch on the shoulder or on the elbow or a high five, just to kind of like gauge, like, how do we feel physically together? If they sort of like, if they're not open to it, that's good information. If they touch you on the shoulder back, that's also really good information.
Does that feel helpful, Alan?
Super helpful. Thank you, Jeff.
When you're talking about, you know, not loving small talk, which I totally resonate with, I'm always like the girl in the corner talking about death or something. And I'm like, is this person having a good time or am I freaking them out? But I was wondering if there is like an idealized version of yourself that you have. Like, is there a movie you've always loved where you saw flirtation seem totally easeful? Or is there some like person that you're holding yourself up to in your head?
There is a movie. Oh gosh, I was obsessed with it for about 2 weeks in high school. And it's going to be super corny, but Ryan Gosling in The Notebook, man, he was smooth when he first met her.
Sure.
Sure seemed
Sorry,
smooth to me.
Stupid thing to do, call the Ferris wheel to talk to somebody, but I had to be next to you. I was just being drawn to you.
Oh, geez, what a line. You use that on all the girls?
No.
One of the things that I loved about Ryan Gosling's character in The Notebook is that, I mean, he's a fox. Nobody's as good looking as Ryan Gosling. Whatever. I don't care. I'm jealous. But the other thing that's like so attractive about him is that he's incredibly authentic. He is who he is to the core. And because he's so in alignment with who he is, we're just like magnetized to him and to that type of person. And studies show that like when you ask partners what they love the most about their partner, they always say it's when they're being authentic, when they're just being themselves. And so I have a feeling that you second guess yourself a lot and you maybe get in the way of being your authentic self, which is a really sexy thing to be, just like congruent with who you really are. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Which also gets back to masking, right? Which is a concept in autism where you're trying to, you know, pretend to be quote unquote neurotypical when that's actually not who you authentically are. And we know when you want to fall in love, you want to fall in love with the real you, right? To have the person really know who you are. So that seems really important. One question I have, Alan, is when do you disclose about your autism? I'd imagine, Alan, that you might have people you disclose to who would be like, cool, that's great. You know, I'm like this, whatever their brain is doing, you know? But you might fear that you might tell someone that who doesn't know about Asperger's and has some negative reaction. Like, how have you navigated disclosing in the past?
I guess I consider that a fairly intimate part about myself. I don't disclose that to a lot of people unless I feel like I can really, truly trust them.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it feels so intimate?
I might get a little emotional. I'm really afraid of how people might treat me after they know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be treated different.
Have you been treated differently?
To the small handful of people that I have told, four of them were totally accepting, and the one just totally stands out and just kind of, if they told a joke, like they would totally explain it and say, do you see why that's funny? Do you get it? And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything to you.
Yeah, because it feels like they're kind of talking down to you and treating you differently. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This feels like an important piece to me because I feel like I've had friends who disclose to me that they're autistic and then I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then I know how to take care of them, not talk down to them, but just like, I get that their brain works a certain way. My brain works a certain way. Like, it's kind of like this beautiful mutuality that then I'm able to know how to interact with them better. So I love the idea of you getting to be with someone who like sees that as beautiful and takes care of you around it as opposed to talking down to you. But like, at what point do you let someone in on that so that you can create that mutuality? Really, you know what I mean?
That's a really good question. I think that goes back to one of the questions I ask myself, like how much is too much and how soon is too soon?
It's up to you whenever you want to disclose anything. You get to make that choice. And I think it's a good question, though, Courtney. Like, when do you tell somebody that maybe you're flirting with or you're getting to know better or you're becoming even better friends with? Because it does give context to, like, who you are and how to, like, connect with you and how to relate to you. You know, you told us, you told me and Courtney about your diagnosis, and I can speak for myself. I imagine Courtney feels this way too, but when you told us, I, like, felt connected to you. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, look, you're being really authentic. You're being really honest. I want to feel even closer to you. I want to know more about you. I don't see it as, like, a barrier to getting to know you. It feels like now I really am getting to know you, mm-hmm. and I want to know even more. Right. And I imagine that if you told the right person who also maybe had some crushy feelings on you, that they would be turned on by it. They'd be interested in that. They'd want to like know even more. They'd be super curious and there wouldn't be a lot of judgment. I think that you're walking around with some shame about it. And I think it's incredibly important to find partners that like accept who we are and all of like our mental health stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And if someone's going to be rude or make you feel bad about it, then that's not a good match for you. So just giving you this information, you get to decide when you want to disclose it, but probably earlier than later is what I would suggest.
Okay.
I think Alan's also articulating a very universal issue for people dating, regardless of their neurotypicality or not, is just like how fast, how much, how, you know, it's like, it's a lot to figure out.
You know, when you're just starting to get to know somebody and maybe there's just some like flirtation there, a little bit of banter or good questions, probably like not divulging everything about yourself or what people might call like trauma dumping, where you're just kind of like having a fun time getting to know establishing some energy and some rapport. But then maybe on like the first or second date, or, you know, probably second date, I would imagine, is like a good time to be a little bit more honest about where you're coming from and what you're all about. So, you know, again, it's up to you all whenever you want to disclose things. But I always think like the earlier, the better, so that there isn't like a lot of game playing, so that there isn't a lot of like guessing. How do you feel about that, Alan, about like disclosing these things a little earlier on?
I feel exposed no matter what, but I think probably just ripping off the Band-Aid, just like, okay, let's get it done.
Again, it's completely up to you when you want to rip that metaphorical Band-Aid off. But I also want to remind anyone who is dabbling in first date territory that dating is supposed to be fun, right? I mean, you're figuring them out and they're doing the same, but don't forget to be present in the moment and take note of how they make you feel. Enjoy it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about non-negotiables. Are they a sign that you know what you want, or a barrier to finding someone perfectly nice?
Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. I use Factor all the time. In fact, what I do is I wake up in the morning and I decide after having breakfast, so I'm not really that hungry, what to have for lunch. And then I put the Factor in my bag and I take it to my office and I put it in the freezer. And then when it's time for lunch, I don't have to make any choices. I'm ready to go. Head to factormeals.com/how250 and use code how250 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code HOW250 at factormeals.com/HOW250 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by Defender. For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with thoroughly modern design. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, and the interior is built with robust materials and integrity. The Defender capability is legendary, whether you're facing off road challenges or harsh weather conditions. Built for the modern explorer, the Defender 110 lets you go further and do more. And cargo capacity means more room for your gear. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. A vehicle made to go further, the Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender. Y'all, I know you got problems that need solving. I certainly do. How do I ask for what I want and not build up a big old suitcase of resentments? How can I live a more climate-conscious life without being a nitpicky recycling monster? How do I finally learn to play the blues harmonica? That's just the tip of the iceberg. Send us your nagging questions and burning desires at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001. And we might just have you on the show. All right, we're back with Jeff Gunther, co-author of the forthcoming book, Big Dating Energy, and creator behind the Therapy Jeff TikTok. He's giving Alan tools to date better. We talked about first date stressors, but now it's time to talk about non-negotiables. This could be a subreddit or a local message board or Facebook group. One of the reasons meeting someone from an online community works is that you already have something in common, a shared interest, a piece of culture that is a foundation on which to start building a connection. And then, if there's a spark, you could try to meet up in real life. Do you know what your non-negotiables are, Alan? Like, what are things you're sure you want in a partner?
I really, really want kids. I'm going to be 35 this year, so I don't want to get too old. I want to be able to, like, run around and play with my kids. My faith is really important to me. I've seen it as sort of like a barrier. I'm a Christian, and it would be really, really great if somebody else held the same belief as I did in that way. Mm-hmm. But tell me if I'm wrong for saying this, but as I've gotten older, my list or whatever that I look for in an individual has become less and less specific. Is that me saying that I'm lowering my standards?
No, I don't think it means, I mean, possibly you could be. That's a maybe. But it sounds like you're like more open to meeting different people and you're yes. probably growing into somebody who's like more accepting of differences, which is mm-hmm. a good, healthy thing. Like that's a green flag. Good job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And why did you say your faith has been a barrier? Could you tell us more about that?
In general, Christian women are super uptight.
I'm not a Christian woman, so I won't take offense on my own behalf, but I might take offense on other women's behalf.
In what way,
Alan? What do you mean?
I'm sorry if I did offend. I'm teasing.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. In what ways okay. uptight?
Okay. It seems like they want a man that is totally infallible and is strong emotionally and physically and has the ability to provide for their family's every single need and still be able to do things that they all want to be able to do. And as in like extracurricular activities and stuff like that, and still have somehow managed time to volunteer at church regularly and still become like a leader in the home.
So it sounds like just a lot of pressure.
It's an incredible amount of pressure because when I think of myself now, I'm really struggling to keep my own head above water. And going back to some of the dating apps, like there's a lot of people that say, like, if you're not at least 6 foot, don't bother. And I'm 5'7". I'm a very tiny man.
I just want to say that only 11% of the population is over 6 feet. So, yeah, adjust your filters, ladies, because you're already weeding out 89% of the men. So
Jeff is ready with the statistics.
Oh, I hate that shit. Yeah, I'm on your side, Alan. It's fucking bullshit. So
that's amazing. Well, actually, and I'm hearing I'd like to add a candidate for your non-negotiable list, which is the word grace. Which I think is kind of a Christian word, even though I'm not Christian. But it's like the idea of, sounds like you want someone who's like generous and understands like people have flaws. People feel stress sometimes. People feel overwhelmed sometimes. And not like, I need the perfect man.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great way to put that. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I have a crazy idea. Jeff, tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
What if Alan went to this nice gym woman and said, hey, I'm looking for someone who is graceful, who has some kind of faith or is just kind and who is interested in having kids in the long run. Do you have a friend like that that you would ever think about setting me up with? Because we know she's cool, so maybe she has good friends.
Yeah, I support that idea. It's advice that I give a lot of folks who are looking to like meet people in real life instead of the dating apps. Because you have like friends out there who know you, who are connected to other people, who and everyone loves to be a matchmaker. So they're usually like pretty excited about getting this request. I encourage you to do what Courtney says, Alan.
Okay.
How do you think, Alan, about it?
Oh... Maybe I'll give it a shot, but I have tried this in the past with friends, like people close to me, and they're like, "Oh, you'll totally dig this person. They're like the same kind of weird as you," and like almost within like 10 or 15 minutes of talking, it was like, "They really thought this was a good idea. Do they know me? I guess they don't know me as well as I thought they did." But I will give this a try with this woman, and we'll see how it goes.
And I know that you're not a fan of the dating apps, and I'm not gonna like tell you to get back on those dating apps. However, and this is actually a trend with like the younger generation, like Gen Z, even Gen Alpha before them, but like specifically millennials, when they go online to meet people, they like click the dating apps. They sign up for Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, whoever. But Gen Z and earlier, they're meeting people in other digital spaces that are not dating apps.
This could be a subreddit or a local message board or Facebook group. One of the reasons meeting someone from an online community works is that you already have something in common, a shared interest, a piece of culture that is a foundation on which to start building a connection. And then, if there's a spark, you could try to meet up in real life. Jeff, how do you feel about the old adage, like, opposites attract? Like, is that actually a good recipe, or is it like...
No,
you need a certain amount of shared territory. Okay. Tell me more.
I mean, you want some differences so that you can be an individual that, you know, has an identity outside of the relationship and brings things into the relationship that you can talk about that your person doesn't really know about. Like it does add some spiciness, but we all know, at least therapists know, that like instead of opposites attract, it's more of the birds that flock together stay together. So if you have a lot of like shared interests, hobbies, values, belief systems, then you have a better shot at having like a longer, healthier, successful relationship if that's what you're looking for. Again, differences make things interesting, and there's not going to be anybody who's going to be exactly like you, but the more shared interests, then the better chance you have at making a good connection.
I do feel like every one of our shows can basically come down to like, we all have to figure out how to love ourselves. But I'm like feeling that in this moment, Alan, of like, you know, who's the version of me that is good at flirting? It's the version of me that actually likes myself, right? And feels like I have something to offer and I'm funny and I'm like worth connecting with. So Jeff, will you say something about that? Like, how do we have to feel about ourselves in order to most joyfully and kind of heartily look for our person?
Yeah. Well, I want to say first that like, Alan, I've only known you for an hour, but it seems to me that you're very kind. You're very sweet. You're incredibly thoughtful. And those are three things that people are really looking for in a partner. And me and Courtney were able to see those things right off the bat. You're vulnerable, you're brave, you're putting yourself out there, you want family. Those are all very loving, attractive qualities, you know? And I think that like, even as I'm saying this, it's like resonating with you, you're taking it in, I can tell. And I want you to feel really good about those qualities that I was able to pick up on just like the hour that I've spent with you. And be in that energy, be in that confidence, be in that space. Like maybe we're not all Ryan Gosling. There should only be one Ryan Gosling. but just like he's able to be authentic, whether it's like in that character or on SNL, you're also able to be that authentic. And that's like sexy as hell. So I want you to really lean into that for me.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
You seem like that's making you feel pretty tender, Alan. Can you tell us why?
I really do struggle just with being kind to myself. So just hearing something like that from a complete stranger, that in an hour he could tell that I'm very thoughtful, I'm very kind. Sorry.
Yeah. It's really evident, Alan. We can see those things. It's very clear. And those are really big green flags. Also, you see a therapist, another huge green flag. You've got tons of them.
Yeah, man. You have so much going for you. Also, like, I just want to say that, like, self-love is such a journey, right, Jeff? It's not like you, like, get to a place and you're like, oh, now I love myself, I can go date. It's like literally every human on earth is on a journey of not liking things about themselves, liking things about themselves, going through seasons of more criticism. So you're also not unique in that, Alan. Like, all the women you're talking to are probably also really struggling with liking themselves, because that's such a universal human thing. But the more you learn to do that, the more you can connect with their vulnerability around that too, right? And the more an amazing father you'll be. And, like, you know, this is the whole thing of being human. So it's, you're not alone in that feeling.
You're not alone. And one of the best ways to address that is to be in relationship with somebody and accept their love and believe that they love you. And then your self-love will grow. So there, you don't need to, like, reach some sort of self-love level and then go date. Like, relationships are healing. Allow them to heal you.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Again, Jeff's podcast and forthcoming book is called Big Dating Energy, and you can find him at Therapy Jeff on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Do you need a pep talk or some relationship advice? Send us a note at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001, and we might have you on the show. And if you like what you heard today, please give us a rating and a review and tell a friend, particularly a gym friend. That helps us help more people. How To is produced by Rosemary Belson with Kevin Bendis. Joel Meyer is senior editor and Derek John is executive producer. Merritt Jacob is senior technical director and composed our theme music. Charles Duhigg created the show. Carvel Wallace is my co-host. And I'm Courtney Martin. Thanks for listening. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.